Good afternoon. Thank you all for being here for our, what's always been hoped for is our annual reading of the Constitution. We are resuming that process today, and we will begin with something of a new wrinkle. We are going to play the national anthem. Before you sit down, our honorable clerk, Paige Parker, will now come and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Madam Clerk.
Could please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
who wants to have a seat, please do so. I do have a couple of announcements to make before we get started. I wanted to acknowledge the folks who have sent regrets. Julia Crenshaw is working. I know everybody's surprised about that, and she couldn't be here. Judge Lynch, on the other hand, is babysitting, so he had to beg off. Catherine Demps has called. She's missed work for 2 days due to illness and won't be able to come. Judge Adams is ill. He will not be able to be here. And we all need to express our sadness in behalf of Judge Peter McDonald. He's in the middle of the Colorado River on a rafting expedition. So that's enough said, I guess. I want to thank some folks for their help. I want to thank our summer intern, Mr. Porter, for his help, and for Wade. Our Judge Self and I have Wade as our staff attorney, and they have helped out immensely. Katie, the other intern, is not here. She's in Florida, so I guess everybody who had the good sense to be on vacation this week is doing it. So appreciate everything that everybody did to help organize this. I want to thank Eddie Bazell, our building superintendent, for his hard work, and Maureen Leamy. Maureen has been spearheading the efforts to get the roster of attorneys updated, And she's done a great job of that. And she's also taken on the task of the memorial chair project that we've had going on here in our Bar Association for many, 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 many years. And we have run out of chairs, and we've started having to take the plaques off some of the oldest chairs and put them on this centralized location and use the available chairs at that point to memorialize more recently departed members of the bar. So Maureen and Eddie and Aaron Thomas, Judge Adams and Judge Cutoff's secretary, they all deserve a round of applause. All right. Now, this got started years ago when, well, I don't know when, actually, but we've been reading the Constitution on a regular basis in spite of COVID, in spite of the risk of heat stroke and other factors over the years, but it's become quite a tradition, I think, for the bar. All of the lawyers just sit by the phone waiting for my call to remind them to come and read the Constitution. And so we are glad to renew the proceedings, and we will not delay it any further. The preamble to the Constitution of the United States of America will be read by the Honorable Judge Andrew Self.
The Constitution of the United States. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Our next reader is the Honorable Edwin White, former judge of the Christian Circuit and District Courts, and Judge Self's predecessor.
Article 1, Section 1. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in the Congress of the United States, which shall consist of the Senate and the House of Representatives. Section 2. The House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of the several states, and the electors in each state shall have the qualifications requisite for electors of the most numerous branch of the state legislature. No person shall be a representative who shall not have attained the age of 25 years and have been 7 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state in which he shall be chosen. Representatives shall be appointed among the several states. The actual enumeration shall be made within 3 years after the first meeting of the Congress of the United States and within every subsequent term of 10 years in such manner as they shall by law direct. The number of representatives shall not exceed one for every 30,000, but each state shall have at least one representative, and until such enumeration shall be made, the state of New Hampshire shall be entitled to choose 3, Massachusetts 8, Rhode Island and Providence Plantations 1, Connecticut 5, New York 6, New Jersey 4, Pennsylvania 8, Delaware 1, Maryland 6, Virginia 10, North Carolina 5, South Carolina 5, and Georgia 3. When vacancies happen in the representation from any state, the executive authority thereof shall issue writs of election to fill such vacancies. The House of Representatives shall choose their speaker and other officers and shall have the sole power of impeachment.
Our next reader is Craig Richardson, Esquire.
Section 3. The Senate of the United States shall be composed of 2 senators from each state, elected for 6 years, and each senator shall have one vote. Immediately after, they shall be assembled in consequence of the first election. They shall be divided as equally as may be into three classes. The seats of the senators of the first class shall be vacated at the expiration of the second year, of the second class at the expiration of the fourth year, and of the third class at the expiration of the sixth year, so that one-third may be chosen every second year. No person shall be a senator who shall not have attained to the age of 30 years and been 9 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state for which he shall be chosen. The Vice President of the United States shall be President of the Senate, but shall have no vote unless they be equally divided. The Senate shall choose their other officers, and also a President pro tempore. In the absence of the Vice President, or when he shall exercise the office of President of the United States, the Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. When sitting for that purpose, they shall be an oath or affirmation. When the President of the United States is tried, the Chief Justice shall preside, and no person shall be convicted without the concurrence of two-thirds of the members present. Judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than to removal from office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. But the party convicted shall nevertheless be liable and subject to indictment, trial, judgment, and punishment according to law.
Thank you. Our next reader is Judge Judy Hall.
Section 4, the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. But the Congress may at any time by law make or alter such regulations, except as to the purchase of places of choosing senators. The Congress shall assemble at least once in every year, and such meeting shall be on the first Monday in December, unless they shall by law appoint a different day. Section 5. Each house shall be the judge of elections, returns, and qualifications of its own members, and a majority of each shall constitute quorum to do business, but a smaller number may adjourn from day to day and may be authorized to compel the attendance of absent members in such manner and under such penalties as each house may provide. Each house may determine the rules of its proceedings, punish its members for disorderly behavior, and, with the concurrence of two-thirds, expel a member. Each house shall keep a journal of its proceedings and from time to time publish the same, excepting such parts as may be, in their judgment, require secrecy. And the yeas and nays of the members of either house on any question shall, at the desire of one-fifth of those present, be entered on the journal. Neither house during the session of Congress shall, without the consent of the other, adjourn for more than 3 days, nor to any other place than that in which the two houses shall be sitting.
Our next reader is the Master Commissioner of the Christian Circuit Court, Mr. Lee Harton, Esquire.
All right.
Close enough.
Close. All right. Thank you, sir. That'd be great. Thank you. Everybody, if you ever get a chance to come down with MS, I would recommend you don't do it. It's really inconvenient. But anyway, so Section 6. The senators and representatives, thank you, Mike, shall in all cases, let me hold it down a little bit. All right, let's see. Shall in all cases except treason, felony, and breach of the peace be privileged from rest during their attendance of the session of their respective houses, and it going to and returning from same. and for any speech or debate in either house, they shall be not be questioned in any other place. No senator or representative shall, during the time for which he was elected, be appointed to any other civil office under the authority of the United States, which shall have been created, or the emoluments whereof shall have been increased during such time, and no person holding any office under the United States shall be a member of either house during his continuance in office. All right, I made it both. Thank you, Mike.
Our next reader will be Michael Berman, Esquire.
Section 7. All bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives, but the Senate may propose or concur with amendments as on other bills. Every bill which shall have passed the House of Representatives and the Senate shall, before it become a law, be presented to the President of the United States. If he approve, he shall sign it, but if he not, he shall return it, with his objections to that house in which it shall have originated, who shall enter the objections at large on their journal and proceed to reconsider it. If after such reconsideration, 2/3 of that House shall agree to pass the bill, it shall be sent, together with the objections, to the other House, by which it shall likewise be reconsidered. And if approved by 2/3 of that House, it shall become a law. But in all such cases, the votes of both Houses shall be determined by yeas and nays, and the names of the persons voting for and against the bill shall be entered on the journal of each House respectively. If any bill shall not be returned by the President within 10 days, Sundays excepted, after it shall have been presented to him, the same shall be a law in like manner as if he had signed it, unless the Congress, by their adjournment, prevent its return, in which case it shall not be a law. Every order, resolution, or vote to which the concurrence of the Senate and House of Representatives may be necessary, except on a question of adjournment, shall be presented to the President of the United States, and before the same shall take effect, shall be approved by him, or being disapproved by him, shall be repassed by 2/3 of the Senate and House of Representatives, according to the rules and limitations prescribed in the case of a bill.
Our next reader is W.E. P.D. Rogers III, Esquire.
Don't know about that. Section 8. The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. But all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. To borrow money on the credit of the United States, to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes, to establish a uniform rule of naturalization and uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcies throughout the United States, to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and a foreign coin, and fix the standard of weights and measures, to provide for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States, to establish post offices and post roads, to promote the progress of science and useful arts, by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries, to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court, to define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the law of nations, to declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and make rules concerning the captures on land and water, to raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for a longer term than 2 years, to provide and maintain a navy.
Our next reader is Lester Bennett Geyer, Esquire.
To make rules for the government and regulation of land and naval forces, to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections and repel invasions, to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, and for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states respectively the appointment of officers, the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress, to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square as may by cession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress become the seat of government for the purchased by the United States legislature of the state in which the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings, and to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers, and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof.
Our next reader is Dan Thomas, Esquire.
Thank you, Your Honor. Section 9. The migration or importation of such persons as any of the states now existing shall think proper to admit shall not be prohibited by Congress prior to the year 1808, but a tax or duty may be imposed on such importation, not exceeding $10 for each person. The privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended unless in cases of rebellion or invasion the public safety may require it. No bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed. No tax or duty shall be laid on articles exported from any state. No preference shall be given by any regulation of commerce or revenue to the ports of one state over those of another. Nor shall vessels bound to or from one state be obligated to enter, clear, or pay duties in another. No money shall be drawn from the treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law. And a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. No title of nobility shall be granted by the United States, and no person holding any office of profit or trust under them shall, without the consent of Congress, accept any present annulment, office, or title of any kind whatever from any king, prince, or foreign state.
Thank you. Our next reader will be the Honorable Judge Foster Cutoff of the Christian District Court.
Section 10. No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque and reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. No state shall, without the consent of the Congress, lay any imposts or duties on imports or exports, except what may be absolutely necessary for executing its inspection laws. And the net produce of all duties and imposts laid by any state on imports or exports shall be for the use of the Treasury of the United States. And all such laws shall be subject to the revision and control of the Congress. No state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in time of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay.
Our next reader, Michael Cutoff, Esquire. They're related.
Article 2, Section 1, the executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States of America. He shall hold his office during the term of 4 years and, together with the vice president, chosen for the same term, be elected as follows. Each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress, but no senator or representative or person holding an office of trust or profit under the United States shall be appointed as an elector. The Congress may determine the time of choosing the electors and the day on which they shall give their votes, which day shall be the same throughout the United States.
Our next reader is the Honorable James Redd, Judge of the Trigg Circuit Court, among others.
No person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of President. Neither shall any person be eligible to that office who shall not have attained to the age of 35 years and been 14 years a resident within the United States. The President shall, at stated times, receive for his services a compensation which shall neither be increased nor diminished during the period for which he shall have been elected, and he shall not receive within that period any other emolument from the United States or any of them. Before he enter on the execution of his office, he shall take the following oath or affirmation: I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
The next reader is Jill R. Atkins, Esquire.
Section 2. The President shall be Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and of the militia of the several states when called into the actual service of the United States. He may require the opinion, in writing, of the principal officer in each of the executive departments upon any subject relating to the duties of their respective offices, and he shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. He shall have power, by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, to make treaties, provided two-thirds of the senators present concur, and he shall nominate, and by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, shall appoint ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, judges of the Supreme Court, and all other officers of the United States whose appointments are not herein otherwise provided for, and which shall be established by law. But the Congress may by law vest the appointment of such inferior officers as they think proper in the President alone, in the courts of law, or in the heads of departments. The President shall have power to fill up all vacancies that may happen during the recess of the Senate by granting commissions which shall expire at the end of their next session.
Our next reader is the Honorable Jared Smith, Assistant Commonwealth's Attorney.
Section 3. He shall from time to time give to the Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient. He may, on extraordinary occasions, convene both houses or either of them, and in case of disagreement between them with respect to the time of adjournment, he may adjourn them to such a time as he shall think proper. He shall receive ambassadors and other public ministers. He shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed and shall commission all the officers of the United States. Section 4. The President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors.
Our next reader is the Honorable Stephanie Bolin, Assistant Commonwealth's Attorney.
Article 3, Section 1. The judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court, and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. The judges, both in the Supreme and inferior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior, and shall, as stated times, receive for their services a compensation which shall not be diminished during their continuance in office. Section 2. In all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers, and consuls, and those in which a state shall be party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. In all other cases before mentioned, the Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction, both as to law and fact, with such exceptions and under those regulations as the Congress shall make. The trial of all crimes, except for cases of impeachment, shall be by jury, and such trial shall be held in a state where said crime shall have been committed. But when not committed within any state, the trial shall be at such place or places as the Congress may by law have directed. Section 3. Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act or on confession in open court. The Congress shall have power to declare the punishment of treason, but no attainder of treason shall work corruption of blood or forfeiture except during the life of the person attainted.
Our next reader is Honorable Maureen Leamy, Assistant County Attorney.
Article 4, Section 1. Full faith and credit shall be given in each state to the public acts, records, and judicial proceedings of every other state, and the Congress may, by general laws, prescribe the manner in which such acts, records, and proceedings shall be proved, and the effect thereof. The citizens of each state shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of citizens in the several states. A person charged in any state with treason, felony, or other crime, who shall flee from justice and be found in another state, shall, on demand of the executive authority of the state from which he fled, be delivered up to be removed to the state having jurisdiction of the crime.
Our next reader is Stephen Underwood, Esquire.
Section 3. New states may be admitted by the Congress into this Union, but no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state, nor any state be formed by the junction of two or more states or parts of states, without the consent of the legislatures of the states concerned as well as that of Congress. The Congress shall have the power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory or other property belonging to the United States. And nothing in this Constitution shall be so construed as to prejudice any claims of the United States or of any particular state. Section 4. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this Union a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence.
The next reader is Assistant County Attorney Catherine Foster, Esquire.
The Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution, or on the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments, which in either case shall be valid to all intents and purposes, as part of this Constitution, when ratified by the legislatures of three-fourths of the several states, or by conventions in three-fourths thereof, as the one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by Congress, provided that no amendment which may be made prior to the year 1808 shall in any manner affect the first and fourth clauses in the ninth section of the first article, and that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate.
Our next reader is the Honorable John Sawyers, Christian County Attorney.
All debts contracted and engagements entered into before the adoption of this Constitution shall be as valid against the United States under this Constitution as under the Confederation. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made, under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. The senators and representatives before mentioned, and the members of the several state legislatures, and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution, but no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States.
The next section will be read by Ben Talley, Esquire.
Article 7. The ratification of the conventions of nine states shall be sufficient for the establishment of this convention or this constitution between the states so ratifying the same. Done in convention by the unanimous consent of the states present, the 17th day of September, in the year of our Lord 1787, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 12th. In witness whereof we have hereunto subscribed our names, George Washington, President and Deputy from Virginia.
Our next reader will be the Honorable Jason Fleming, Judge of the Christian Circuit Family Court.
In convention, Monday, September 17th, 1787, present the states of New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Mr. Hamilton from New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. Resolved that the preceding Constitution be laid before the United States in Congress assembled, and that it is the opinion of this convention that it should afterwards be submitted to a convention of delegates chosen in each state by the people thereof under the recommendation of its legislature for their assent and ratification, and that each convention assenting to and ratifying the same should give notice thereof to the United States in Congress assembled. Resolved, that it is the opinion of this convention that as soon as the conventions of 9 states have ratified this Constitution, the United States in Congress assembled shall fix a day on which electors should be appointed by the states which have ratified the same, and a day which the electors shall assemble to vote for the President, and a time and place for commencing proceedings under this Constitution.
That after such publication, the electors should be appointed and the senators and representatives elected, that the electors should meet on the day fixed for the election of the President and should transmit their votes certified, signed, sealed, and directed as the Constitution requires to the Secretary of the United States in Congress assembled, that the senators and representatives should convene at the time and place assigned, that the senators should appoint a president of the Senate for the sole purpose of receiving, opening, and counting the votes for president, and that after he shall be chosen, the Congress, together with the president, should, without delay, proceed to execute this Constitution. By the unanimous order of the convention, George Washington, President, William Jackson, Secretary. The amendments to the Constitution of the United States as ratified by the states. Congress of the United States begun and held at the City of New York on Wednesday, the 4th of March, 1789, the conventions of a number of the states having at the time of their adopting the Constitution expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added, and as extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends of its institution. Resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, 2/3 of both houses concurring that the following articles be proposed to the legislatures of the several states as amendments to the Constitution of the United States, all or any of which articles were, when ratified by 3/4 of the said legislatures, to be valid to all intents and purposes as part of the said Constitution. Articles in addition to an amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America, proposed by Congress and ratified by the legislatures of the several states, pursuant to the 5th article of the original Constitution. The next reader will Ms. Foster.
Amendment 1, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3, no soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in the time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime, unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witness against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense.
Our next reader will be Olivia Adams, Esquire.
Amendment 7. In suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Amendment 11. The judicial power of the United States shall not be construed to extend to any suit in law or equity commenced or prosecuted against one of the United States by citizens of another state or by citizens or subjects of any foreign state.
Next reader will be Ms. Atkins, Esquire.
Amendment 12. The electors shall meet in their respective states and vote by ballot for president and vice president, one of whom, at least, shall not be an inhabitant of the same state with themselves. They shall name in their ballots the person voted for as president, and in distinct ballots, the person voted for as vice president. And they shall make distinct lists of all persons voted for as president, and for all persons voted for as vice president, and of the number of votes for each, which lists they shall sign and certify and transmit sealed to the seat of the government of the United States, directed to the president of the Senate. The president of the Senate shall, in the presence of the Senate and House of Representatives, open all of the certificates, and the votes shall then be counted. The person having the greatest number of votes for president shall be the president, if such number be a majority of the whole number of electors appointed. And if no person have such majority, then from the persons having the highest numbers not exceeding 3 on the list of those voted for as president, the House of Representatives shall choose immediately, by ballot, the president. But in choosing the president, the votes shall be taken by states, the representation from each state having one vote. A quorum for this purpose shall consist of a member or members from 2/3 of the states, and a majority of all the states shall be necessary to a choice. The person having the greatest number of votes as vice president shall be the vice president, if such number be a majority of the whole number of electors appointed. And if no person have a majority, then from the 2 highest numbers on the list, the Senate shall choose the vice president. A quorum for the purpose shall consist of 2/3 of the whole number of senators, and a majority of the whole number shall be necessary to a choice. But no person constitutionally ineligible to the office of president shall be eligible to that of vice president of the United States.
Next reader will be John Sawyers.
Amendment 13, Section 1. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Section 2. Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Amendment 14, Section 1. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Section 2. Representatives shall be apportioned among the several states according to their respective numbers, counting the whole number of persons in each state, excluding Indians not taxed. But when the right to vote at any election for the choice of electors for President and Vice President of the United States, representatives in Congress, the executive and judicial officers of a state, or the members of the legislature thereof, is denied to any of the male inhabitants of such state, being 21 years of age, and citizens of the United States, or in any way abridged, except for participation in rebellion or other crime, the basis of representation therein shall be reduced in the proportion which the number of such male citizens shall bear to the whole number of male citizens 21 years of age in such state. Section 3. No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or as an executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof, but Congress may, by a vote of 2/3 of each House, remove such disability.
Next reader will be Judge Cutoff.
Section 4. The validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounties for services in suppressing insurrection or rebellion, shall not be questioned. But neither the United States nor any state shall assume or pay any debt or obligation incurred in aid of insurrection or rebellion against the United States, or any claim for the loss or emancipation of any slave. But all such debts, obligations, and claims shall be held illegal and void. Section 5. The Congress shall have the power to enforce, by appropriate legislation, the provisions of this article.
Next reader will be Ms. Leamy.
Amendment 15. The right of the citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. The Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Amendment 16. The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived, without apportionment among the several states and without regard to any census or enumeration.
Next reader will be Steve Underwood.
Amendment 17, the Senate of the United States shall be composed of 2 senators from each state, elected by the people thereof for 6 years, and each senator shall have 1 vote. The electors in each state shall have the qualifications requisite for electors of the most numerous branch of the state legislature. When vacancies happen in the representation of any state in the Senate, the executive authority of such state shall issue writs of election to fill such vacancies, provided that the legislature of any state may empower the executive thereof to make temporary appointments until the people fill the vacancies by election as the legislature may direct. This amendment shall not be so construed so as to affect the election or term of any senator chosen before it becomes valid as a part of the Constitution.
Ben Talley is our next reader.
Amendment 18, Section 1. After 1 year from the ratification of this article, the manufacture, sale, or transportation of intoxicating liquors within, the importation thereof into, or the exportation thereof from the United States and all territories subject to the jurisdiction thereof for beverage purposes is hereby prohibited. Section 2. The Congress and the several states shall have concurrent powers to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Section 3. This article shall be inoperative unless it shall have been ratified as an amendment to the Constitution by the legislatures of the several states, as provided in the Constitution, within 7 years from the date of the submission hereof to the states by the Congress. Amendment 19. The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation.
Mr. Geyer will be our next reader.
Amendment 20, Section 1. The terms of the President and Vice President shall end at noon on the 20th day of January, and the terms of the Senators and Representatives at noon on the 3rd day of January, of the years of which such terms would have ended if this article had not been ratified, had not been ratified in the terms of the successor shall then begin. Section 2. The Congress shall assemble at least once every year, and such meetings shall begin at noon on the 3rd day of January, unless they shall by law appoint a different day. Section 3. If at the time for the beginning of the term of the President-elect shall have died, the Vice President-elect shall become President. If the President shall not have been chosen before the time fixed for the beginning of his term, or if the President-elect shall have failed to qualify, then the Vice President-elect shall act as president until the president shall have qualified, and the Congress may by law provide for the case wherein neither the president-elect nor a vice president shall have qualified, declaring who shall then act as president, or in the manner in which one who is to act shall be selected, and such person shall act accordingly until a president and vice president shall have qualified. Section 4. The Congress may by law provide for the case of the death of any persons from whom the House of Representatives may choose as a president, whenever the right of choice shall have devolved upon them, for the case of the death of any persons from whom the Senate may choose a vice president, whenever the right of choice shall have devolved upon them. Section 5. Sections 1 and 2 shall take effect the 15th day of October following the ratification of this article. Section 6. This article shall be inoperative unless it shall have been ratified as an amendment to the Constitution by the legislatures of 3/4 of the several states within 7 years of the date of its submission.
Approaching the lectern, the Honorable Andrew Self.
The 21st Amendment, Section 1. The 18th Article of Amendment to the Constitution of the United States is hereby repealed. Section 2. The transportation or importation into any state, territory, or possession of the United States for the delivery or use therein of intoxicating liquors in violation of the laws thereof is hereby prohibited. Section 3. This article shall be inoperative unless it shall have been ratified as an amendment to the Constitution by conventions in the several states as provided in the Constitution within 7 years from the date of the submission hereof to the states by the Congress.
Judge Fleming is next.
Amendment 22, Section 1. No person shall be elected to the office of president more than twice, and no person who has held the office of president or acted as president for more than 2 years of a term to which some other person was elected president shall be elected to the office of president more than once. But this article shall not apply to any person holding the office of president when this article was proposed by Congress, and shall not prevent any person who may be holding the office of president or acting as president during the term within which this article becomes operative from holding the office of president or acting as a president for the during the remainder of their term. Section 2. This article shall be inoperative unless it was ratified or shall have been ratified as an amendment to the Constitution by the legislatures of 3/4 of the several states within 7 years from the date of its submission to the states by the Congress.
Judge Redd.
Amendment 23, Section 1. The district constituting the seat of government of the United States shall appoint in such manner as Congress may direct a number of electors of president and vice president equal to the whole number of senators and representatives in Congress to which the district would be entitled if it were a state, but in no event more than the least populous state. They shall be in addition to those appointed by the states, but they shall be considered for the purpose of the election of president and vice president to be electors appointed by a state, and they shall meet in the district and perform such duties as provided by the 12th article of amendment. Section 2, the Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation.
Amendment 24, Section 1. The right of citizens of the United States to vote in any primary or other election for president or vice president, for electors for president or vice president, or for senator or representative in Congress shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or any state by reason of failure to pay poll tax or other tax. Section 2. The Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Amendment 25. In case of the removal of the president from office or of his death or resignation, the vice president shall become president. Section 2. Whenever there is a vacancy in the office of the vice president, the president shall nominate a vice president who shall take office upon confirmation by a majority vote of both houses of Congress. Section 3. Whenever the president transmits to the president pro tem of the Senate and the speaker of the House of Representatives his written declaration that he is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, and until he transmits to them a written declaration to the contrary, such powers and duties shall be discharged by the vice president as acting president. Section 4. Whenever the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments or of such other body as Congress may by law provide transmit to the president pro tem of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives their written declaration that the President is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, the Vice President shall immediately assume the powers and duties of the office as acting President. Thereafter, when the President transmits to the President pro tem of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives his written declaration that no inability exists, he shall resume the powers and duties of his office unless the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive department or of such other body as Congress may by law provide transmit within 4 days to the President Pro Tem of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives their written declaration that the President is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. Thereupon, Congress shall decide the issue, assembling within 48 hours for the purpose, if not in session. If the Congress, within 21 days after receipt of the latter written declaration, or if Congress is not in session within 21 days after Congress is required to assemble, determines by 2/3 vote of both houses that the President is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, the Vice President shall continue to discharge the same as acting President. Otherwise, the President shall resume the powers and duties of his office. Amendment 26, Section 1. The right of citizens of the United States who are 18 years of age or older to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of age. Section 2. The Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Amendment 27. No law varying the compensation for the services of the senators and representatives shall take effect until an election of representatives shall have intervened. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Constitution of the United States. I want to say a couple of things. First of all, I want to thank the Knights of Columbus for being here. They provided the flags. If you didn't get a flag, you can pick one up out of the chairs, or I'm sure, I think I saw them with several boxes. And if any of you are really enamored of the flag, I'm sure Mr. Rogers would probably sell you his necktie.
Going.
This is something that's, I think, important to our community, and for good reason. You can't turn on television or listen to the radio or read the newspaper without seeing something going on in our country that doesn't involve the Constitution of the United States. I mean, as you read through this or listen to this, I'm sure you're just thinking, well, that just happened, or that happened last year, or that's going on now, or wow, that's what they were talking about when such and such happened. And it's just, the Constitution is a living, breathing element of our society, and we have to treat it with kindness and respect. And in order to properly show that, I think having these ceremonies is important. And I thank everybody, all lawyers, judges, former judges, that have come to join us today. Thank you very much. Hopefully next year we'll have a little more hospitality for you, and we may even try to feed you. So thank you all very much.